Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is from Matthew, the 11th chapter, verses 28 and 29. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. In Jesus' name, fellow redeemed. Wagons, ho! But followed louder the wagon master shout, morning after morning, after hundreds of wagons and thousands of immigrants made their way across the western United States. Those wagons, which were heavily laden, were pulled by oxen in pairs. They made their mark then, not only on the history of our country, but even on the soil. Near Lemon, South Dakota, you can still see the ruts that they left in the mud as they were pulled along. Those oxen pairs were harnessed together in wooden yokes, and those heavily laden prairie schooners, after all, they looked like ships with their hooped canvas coming across the plains. They were carried efficiently and safely. And you can be sure that the owners of those oxen were very careful that they did not injure them or cut them short in the feed in any way, because their whole expedition depended upon these animals. Indeed, their very lives did. These yokes, these wooden yokes that were carved so carefully that we only see in pictures and once in a while on the side of a barn, this is the kind of yoke that Jesus had in mind when he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. In fact, there is a tradition that Jesus himself made such yokes for the farmers in the area around Nazareth. The Bible doesn't answer that question for us, but we do have these words of Jesus preserved to us. And we do know that the rabbis, the teachers of Jesus' day, used this as a picture of learning from a particular rabbi. You were in the yoke with them. That expression is used in the Bible in a number of places to describe a variety of types of teamings. Teamed with somebody in slavery was a yoke of bondage, wasn't it? If a person married someone that was going in a different direction, that was being yoked together with an unbeliever. But the term also is used here then of a yoking that amounts to teacher and student learning. And so we would take up what it means to be in a yoke with Jesus, the one that he has invited us to take on when he called us to trust in him as our Savior. Because you see, whatever was taught by a particular rabbi, that was what determined whether the yoke was hard or whether it was light. Most rabbis of Jesus' day were Pharisees. Any student yoked together with such a teacher received the heaviest of burdens through that teaching. Because he was taught again and again and again, and you could read what the Apostle Paul says about his teaching, for he was taught by Pharisees as a Pharisee. They were taught that salvation was to be earned by their keeping of God's commandments to the letter. And while they're at it, the Pharisees added letters. They added to God's law their own list of requirements based on their own interpretation of divine law. Now, many are still doing the same thing today. Every religion other than Christianity is a religion of works. Earn your way with God, including the two homemade religions we have in the U.S., Mormonism and the JWs. False teachers, though, in Christian churches also promote the idea that you must add your good works to what Jesus has done in order to be saved. Talk about a heavy load. Talk about a burden impossible to carry. And yet, if you ask the man on the street, the average American will tell you this is what religion is. Perhaps he's learned it from his friends and from his neighbors. Maybe he's had some contact with the lodges, was scouting. They all say the way to heaven is doing more good than bad and working hard to make up for the bad. But everyone who accepts this idea, no matter where they get it, Jesus says, they're laboring, working to be saved. It's an impossible and terrible load. Come to me, he said, so I will give you rest. Rest for your souls. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about the forgiveness of sins. We're talking about being rescued through what Jesus teaches us about himself as our Savior, that we might find the peace and contentment, the happiness and rest and joy for the soul that we all need. You know, very often people want to get these things apart from Jesus. Who wouldn't want rest and contentment and peace and happiness and joy? And yet they find even there, without Jesus, it's virtually impossible to achieve even a kind of a earthly result that could be called peace of heart. See, here's where Jesus is, just as he was, so different. And what he taught, what he still teaches. He calls us to trust in him. Not only in what he says, but in who he is and what he has done for us. Come to me, he says, I will give you rest. What a contrast to this day Jesus teaches those he calls to his side, that he, as our substitute, has fulfilled God's law in our stead. Come. And in that invitation, he works in our hearts so that we receive it. Instead of the heavy workload of trying to earn God's love, of never being sure that you had done enough, instead of God's law rightly condemning you every single step of the way with no relief, instead he places upon our hearts his blood-bought forgiveness. Forgiveness he purchased and won for us. Learn from me, the NIV says. Learn of me, the New King James says. Both places, you're going to the same place, aren't you? Because when you learn from Jesus, that's what you learn. You learn of him. You learn who he is and what he has done. You learn to trust in him, not just as a good guide and a good teacher, but as your Savior and your friend and your Lord. And he says, I'm gentle. I'm not like those other teachers. I'm not going to try to whip you into line. I'll draw you with my love, the strong, sacrificial love with which I lay down my life for you. And talk about humble in heart. It wasn't because we asked him. It wasn't because we deserved him in any way to come to us and invite us to find in him rest through forgiveness and the promise of eternal life. No, he stoops down to us. In all humility, he comes as one of us, reaching out to save. I'm gentle and humble. So to be yoked with Jesus, then, is nothing other than to trust in him. This is Jesus' description, one of them, Jesus' description of faith. He teaches us to trust in himself as our Savior, and so lifts our burden of sin. Clearly, Jesus doesn't stop being our teacher and our Savior once we've learned to know him as our Redeemer, to trust in him. No, he stays right with us lest we stray away, all the way through life until we're safe home in the Father's house, teamed, yoked with our Savior. Jesus with us, connected with his power flowing into us. As he says in that other picture, I am the vine, you are the branches. So the teacher and the student travel together. But when we learn from Jesus, we learn of Jesus. And we learn to keep on doing that, to use word and sacrament that we might grow up in him, grow in grace and holiness, that is, grow in faith and the fruits of faith. Growing but never outgrowing Jesus, never leaving him to be on our own. I suspect if you started, and this I don't know for sure, if you started an ox's training when it was still young, you might use one yoke. But then as the ox got older, you would have to use a bigger one. But we don't need a different yoke as we grow in Christ, because we stay with the same Savior, the same friend, the same Redeemer, always His disciple, daily, hourly, in the yoke with Him, meeting life's challenges and opportunities, its trials and tragedies, with our Lord and Savior, our Redeemer, ever at our side. So Jesus pours into our hearts the power of His pardoning love, the power of His forgiveness. Here you see what an awful lie the devil perpetrates when he tries to turn us away from looking carefully at our sins, such as when before we come to the Lord's table. Because Satan does not want us to find rest for our souls. He doesn't want us to expose the places that Jesus needs to cleanse and heal with His pardoning love, with His forgiveness. And our flesh, well, it's just good at that. It likes to think highly of itself and not look closely with the light of God's commandments at the way we are and the things that we have done. But so much better, Jesus calls us to gladly walk at His side and so walk in the way our Heavenly Father directs us in His holy law. No wonder that was the first of Martin Luther's 95 theses, that when Jesus says repent, He intends it to be a daily activity. Daily taking our sins, dumping them at the foot of the cross, and receiving in Christ's forgiveness the strength to live as His people. In the yoke with Jesus, living as God's redeemed, restored, and forgiven children. This is not a crushing burden. This is a joyful adventure. This is not something to be whipped into doing or driven by threats. This is a marvelous part of being co-workers with the Lord who loved us and gave Himself for us. The bulletin cover just picks up on that one little nugget, that to walk with Jesus is not a burdensome thing, any more than a parent carrying a child is a burdensome thing to the parent. So us, in the yoke with Jesus, that is not burdensome at all. That's what it means to be a believing disciple. Each of us individually learning from Jesus, each individually paired with Him through all of life. Starts when we're little, on our mother's knee. Doesn't stop. Whether we're in Sunday school, or the pastor's instruction class, or reading home devotions, or remembering as we walk what Jesus has done for us, we're in the yoke with Him. That's why diligent and thoughtful attention to His Word is so important when you're here, but also any time you take up God's Word. Remember your baptism and the promises God made to you there. That's part of being yoked with Jesus, just as coming to His table again reassures you of the forgiveness of your sins. Here is the rest for your souls that no one else can give you. Remember, too, that we're also in the yoke with Jesus when we're living out what we've learned from Him, because that can only be done in the strength that He gives through His forgiveness. And once again here, it's not about right and wrong so much as why you do what you do and who you're getting the strength to do it from. It's about Jesus being at your side, your Savior and friend. And how that affects the way you treat other people. So just as we don't stop worshiping and honoring Jesus when we leave this building, but seek to do it wherever we are, in whatever we're involved, we don't stop learning from Jesus, of Jesus, when we leave this building either. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. But it's a reminder we need to all hear. As we walk with Him in faith, as we live with Him and the strength He gives through His forgiveness, as we learn from Him day by day, well, we're on the path we want to be on. Until, as one of His first disciples said, until He appears, and we shall be like Him, and we shall see Him as He is. May God grant it. Amen. The peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard and keep your thoughts and emotions in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.